Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In chapter 12 and 13, Paul emphasizes 5 things: speaking, the spirit, the body, God's administration, and love. Then in chapter 14, he comes to another main item, the superiority of one particular gift for the building up of the church. Among the main spiritual gifts described in this portion of the Word, one stands out as superior for building up the church. What is this unique, superior gift? We'll find out on today's program. And with this fellowship, Ron Kangas has joined us. Ron, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, and I look forward to the give and take of fellowship over the crucial matter of speaking God and speaking forth God and speaking for God with the building up of the church in view.
Well, I've been very impressed in the recent days in these programs we've been producing. Of course, you've been away a bit, but in this whole second half of the book of 1 Corinthians, the focus of this matter of God's administration, which practically means the church, the body of Christ in the organic aspect, but the church in the administrative aspect. And in sandwiched in here is this matter of the gifts. And so the dealing with the gifts and the use and the misuse of them has to be understood in this context, doesn't it?
It should be, if we are faithful to what the book of 1 Corinthians actually contains and to what it emphasizes. Furthermore, if we can touch Paul's spirit in his writing, we'll have all the more reason to focus on the proper things. A big mistake believers make in reading the Bible generally and in studying 1 Corinthians particularly is to major in minor things and to even ignore the central things.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a reflection, to be honest, of the degree of one's maturity in reading the Word. So I appreciate that Paul, to say the least, was very mature spiritually and could represent the divine thought, even give his opinion in chapter 7 and then say, I think I have the Spirit, and it in fact is the Spirit. And in Brother Lee's life study, we have the work of a faithful and very mature servant of the Lord who is able to enter into Paul's thought and to have the proper perspective. That's why his life study ministry is so valuable to us.
Yeah.
One of the things it does, it causes us to change our perspective and our focus and to be more in line with the perspective and focus of God himself and his revelation in this part of the Word that we're dealing with.
Well, let's look at a couple of verses that are very foundational to understand what we're talking about today. Okay, in chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And a verse that Witness Lee will pick up in his sharing here, let's go ahead and read it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, the last portion just says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And that helps very much with the context. Okay, here's Witness Lee with our first portion.
I do believe what was in the heart of the apostle when he was writing these chapters was these few main points: speaking, spirit, the body, and administration of God. Then the matter of love. After this, he still had another main point. That is the superior gift for the building of the church. Among so many gifts, which one is the superior? not for your maturity, not for your spiritual interest, but for the building up of the church. So this becomes the sixth stress of his dealing with the matter of gifts, which among so many gifts is the best one for the church building. And this was his ultimate concern. His ultimate concern is not the speaking. Even it is not the spirit. It is not the body. It is not the administration. It is not the way to exercise the gift, but the building up of the church. Amen. He was so church conscious. He was so church centered. And his concern was just for the church. Christ died not only for redemption, but for something further. Ephesians 5 says, Christ gave up himself for the church. Redemption is a procedure. Redemption is a way to reach the goal, to reach the destination. And the destination, hallelujah, is the church.
Ron Heap pointed out all of the Christians come to these chapters because they're interested in this or that gift and how to obtain this or that gift or why we should or shouldn't obtain that gift. But how many ask the question, what are the gifts for? And it seems as if we look at 1 Corinthians, the fact that they didn't ask that question in their practice and exercise in the church life almost inevitably led them to abuse or misuse the gifts, didn't it?
Yes, children don't ask questions like this. That's why Paul, toward the end of this chapter, exhorted them not to be children in understanding, but in understanding to be full-grown, to be mature. In a sense, you can't fault the Corinthians for behaving like the infants they were. And in a sense, we can't fault the vast, vast majority of Christians for not zeroing in on Paul's thought, because that kind of focus requires one to be renewed in the spirit of the mind, to have a considerable degree of spiritual maturity. So Paul was burdened throughout the book with the infantile, juvenile status of the believers and was exhorting them and encouraging them and motivating them, charging them to pursue the genuine growth in life, to develop the initial gifts of the Spirit and the divine life for the building up of the church. My hope in fellowshipping along this line is that even though there's such a great need among God's people to genuinely grow in life, my hope is that the light in the Word that is diffused in a positive sense through this ministry will give many of our listeners a new view, that they will be interested in rereading 1 Corinthians, that even they will be willing to avail themselves of the help afforded by the life studies that opens this book, not exhaustively, but initially and quite thoroughly, so that here and there, God's people, under the sound of this ministry, will begin to care for what God and his representative, his ambassador, Paul, cared about, and that is the building up of the church. When will this day come when the Lord's children will grow in life sufficiently so that they begin to have an adult understanding of the divine things unveiled through Paul in 1 Corinthians. It is to the advancement of the believers in the growth in life that we dedicate programs such as these. We not only want to articulate or emphasize or underline points of truth, but to encourage the believers, even as Paul did, to pursue the genuine growth in life that they would no longer be babies in understanding, but in understanding would be full grown. And if one is full grown in understanding, one will have the view Paul had in writing this chapter, the building up of the church.
He who prophesies, Paul said, Ron, in 14, verse 4, builds up the church. I desire that you all speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy. And greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets that the church may receive building up. In this final segment today, we'll talk about what the real prophesying is. Here's Witness Lee again.
Christ's death is to redeem us back that we may become his body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Paul was so centered with the church. Oh, in his consciousness, nothing there so crucial, so ultimate, but the church. Talking about the gifts, what are the gifts for? Many Christians, they care for the gifts. They like to have the preaching gifts, speaking gifts, the miraculous gifts, the tongue-speaking gifts, the healing gifts, and this gift and that gift, they are for the gifts. But they do not care what are the gifts for. Paul was different. What was with him, Paul, was the building up of the church. You just have to forget about all the talks about the gifts. You must be impressed by this one thing, the building up of the church. Whether you are spiritual, you are mature, you are holy, or you are gifted, you are just nothing. That doesn't mean anything. The only thing that counts, the only thing that matters in God's economy is the building up of the church. So, after these two chapters, 12 and 13, Paul has another long chapter, chapter 14. And in this chapter, you could see the stress. The main point is, what is the best gift for the building up of the church? Yes, God has given a lot of gifts, but not all gifts are so important. Not all the gifts are so crucial for the building up of the church. So in this last chapter of this section dealing with the gifts, Paul couldn't let himself go, but show us what is the superior gift for the building up of the church.
Ron, you made a comment a few minutes ago as we were opening up here that I couldn't help thinking about listening to this portion, and that is that Christians have a habit, we all have a habit at times of majoring on the minor points and not just minoring on the majors, even neglecting totally at times the major points. How about this matter of building up the body? I was just curious to myself, how many of God's children even realize this is a major point?
Of course, I have no way of knowing in any statistical sense. But based upon several decades of study and observation and experience, I can say that there is virtually no proper emphasis on the building up of the church in expositions, in teachings, in sermons, in lectures, in devotionals, even if there is some teaching concerning the building up of the church. It's lacking. It's not understood in the light of chapter 3, where Paul speaks so definitely regarding the building. It's not understood in the light of the totality of the divine revelation, which shows us that God's goal is the building. Many will read this chapter to find evidence for speaking in tongues. Others will read the chapter to find arguments against the speaking in tongues. But where is the proper emphasis on the building up of the church? Paul is dealing with the abuse of the gifts, especially tongues. Paul is dealing with the ecstatic condition of the Corinthians in the meetings and their lacking of sobriety. But the way he does it manifests his burden and consciousness regarding the building up of the church. His criterion related to evaluating the gifts is, what does it build up? And prophesying far surpasses tongue speaking, because prophesying builds up the church. Why don't we care about this? Why don't God's people care about what God and Paul and we're burdened about? We need to be brought back to this. We need to have this pointed out to us. We need this program.
Yes.
On prophesying for the building up of the church. We need to be refocused to see that Paul's burden was the building up of the church. I don't know how to say it more plainly than that.
Yeah. Well, I asked a somewhat rhetorical question, which you accurately pointed out was one we couldn't answer empirically, but I think we can say, even with some firsthand experience behind us, this ministry really presents the writings of two authors, primarily Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And I think historically it's well known that there were two aspects to Watchman Nee's ministry, the life experience, the inner life or deeper life side of his ministry, which we greatly appreciate and extol. Then he had the side of his ministry very much focused on this matter of the church and the building up of the church. And through the years, Ron, how many times have you heard? I have many times people who divide his ministry in half and accept half and reject half.
Innumerable times, even to the point of denying that the books on the building up of the church, the books on the body, on the ground of the church, that are published under the name of Watchman Nee, some deny they were authored by him, that they're somehow fakes. But whatever is the strategy, the situation is exposed. And that is, generally speaking, Christians, including the most seeking among them, and the Christian leaders, including the most informed among them, do not know and do not care about the building up of the church, and are not in a situation where they could build up the genuine church, even if they wanted to. It also shows that Christians, because of their immaturity, are self-centered. They want books that will help them live the normal Christian life. They want books that will help them release their spirit, whatever they think this means. But there's very little interest on the things that matter to God, on God's heart's desire, God's economy, God's purpose, God's central thought, God's goal, all of which are involved with the building up of the church as the body of Christ. So we will follow Paul, and we will stand with Brother Nee and Brother Lee unashamedly and unapologetically to sound forth the word of God regarding the crucial matter of the genuine building up of the church as the organic body of Christ.
And in following Paul, let's go back and listen to him as he points us to this superior gift for the building up. Verse 3 of chapter 14, "But he who prophesies speaks building up, and encouragement and consolation to men." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks to men for building up and encouragement and consolation." Prophesying is the superior gift for the building up of the church. Prophesying in such a chapter doesn't mainly mean to predict. Even you read Isaiah's book and Jeremiah's book, even those books are not mainly predictions. What is there in Isaiah that is mainly the speaking for God and the speaking for God, with a little part of prediction? To prophesy in the Bible, it means you speak for God and you speak for God. This needs much growth in life. You need to know God. You need to experience Christ. If you don't have sufficient, adequate experiences of God and Christ, you just have nothing to say for Him. And you have nothing to say for Him. But to predict, this is miraculous. This doesn't need the growth in life. This is a miraculous gift to predict something that will happen in the future. So, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, the word prophesy as a noun, or prophesy as a verb, it mainly doesn't refer to prediction. It mainly refers to speaking for God, to speak for God.
Well, Ron, just a little time remains. Quickly, what is the real prophesying, and why is it the superior gift?
Let me respond by commenting on what prophecy primarily is not. I begin here because when most believers think of prophecy, they mean predicting future events.
Right.
Of course, there is an element, a definite element of exact prophetic prediction of certain future events in the Scripture.
Right.
And to prophesy for the Lord has that meaning. At least it had it for the prophets in the Bible. But in Paul's usage in 1 Corinthians 14, and in our application today, and according to the divine revelation overall, to prophesy is not mainly to predict future events. To prophesy is to speak for God. It is to speak God forth. It is to speak a word that God wants spoken. And it is also to speak God Himself into the hearers. That is why prophesying builds up the church. It speaks God into people as the building element. So we may put it this way, to prophesy does mean to foretell.
Right.
But it mainly means to tell forth and to tell for God.
Thank you very much, Ron, for today's sharing.
You're welcome.
For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.